in the limelight.
We're like policemen. We're not fighting a war. If we wanted to fight a war in Afghanistan and win it, I could win that war in a week. But I don't want to kill 10 million people. Afghanistan could be wiped off the face of the earth. I don't want to go that route. These were the boastful and pharaoh-like remarks of the arrogant and ignorant US President Donald Trump. Stay with us for an article which appeared on Asia Times website titled How to Kill 10 Million Afghans and Not Win by investigative Brazilian journalist Pepe Escobar. Even considering the rolling annals of demented Trumpism, bolstered every single day by a torrent of outrageous tweets and quotes, what you have just read is simply astonishing. Here we have the President of the United States asserting that 1. The US is not fighting a war in Afghanistan. 2. If the US wanted a war, the President would win it in a week. 3. He would kill 10 million people, although he doesn't want it. And 4. Afghanistan as a whole, for no meaningful reason, could be wiped out of the face of the earth. Trump said all of the above mentioned while sitting alongside Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan, who, in a deft move, is trying to appease the White House even as they carefully positions Pakistan as a solid node of Eurasia integration alongside Russia, China, and Iran. When Trump says the US is not fighting a war in Afghanistan, he is on to something, although it's doubtful that Team Trump have told the boss that the real game in town from the beginning is the CIA heroin rat line. It's also doubtful Trump would ask for input from his hated predecessor Barack Obama. Obama may not have killed 10 million people, but the forces under his command did kill scores, if not hundreds, of Afghans, including countless civilians. And still Obama did not win, much less in a week. Barack Obama did entertain the notion of winning the war in Afghanistan. After deliberating in solitary confinement for 11 hours, as legend goes, he methodically settled for a two-step surge, 21,000 troops plus 30,000. Obama believed the war on Afghanistan was a noble crusade and during his presidential campaign in 2008 always defined it as the right war. Obama defended his surge on humanitarian imperialist grounds. For the Afghan people, the return of Taliban rule could condemn their country to brutal governance, international isolation, a paralyzed economy, and the denial of basic human rights to Afghan people, especially women and girls. The New York Times and the Washington Post applauded. But Kabul, we have a problem. Afghanistan, bombed and invaded under the Bush-Cheney regime, was never a right or just war. There was never any established Taliban connection to 9/11. Plotting and financing for 9/11 involved Saudis and cells in Germany, Pakistan, and the UAE. Mullah Omar never dispatched any terrorist on one-way trips to America. Nevertheless, the Taliban leadership in Kandahar did agree to a deal, brokered by Moscow, to surrender Osama bin Laden, who without even the hint of an investigation was proclaimed the evil 9/11 culprit only a few hours after the collapse of the Twin Towers. The Bush-Cheney regime rejected the Taliban offer, as well as a subsequent one to hand over Osama to a Muslim nation for trial. The Bush-Cheney regime only wanted an extradition to the US. With Hamid Karzai barely reigning in Kabul And the neocons already focus on their real target, Iraq, the occupation of Afghanistan was handed over to NATO. This had already been decided even before 9/11 at the G8 in Genoa in July, when it became clear Washington had a plan to strike Afghanistan by October. The Bush-Cheney regime badly needed a beachhead in the intersection of Central Asia and South Asia, not only to monitor Russia and China, but also to coordinate a drive to take over Central Asia's massive gas wealth. Notoriously, fickle story, and the Hindu Kush ruled otherwise. Incrementally, the Taliban started to get their mojo back throughout 2010s, to the point that now they control as much as half of the country. Even that fountain of vanity General David Petraeus, who had crafted the failed Iraqi surge, always knew the Afghan war was an unwinnable war. This great general, Stanley McChrystal, at least was more surgical. We have shot an amazing number of people and killed a number, and to my knowledge, none has proven to have been a real threat. Still, certified fun and games were assured by stuff such as Lockheed Martin's high-mobility artillery rocket system laying waste to Pashtun villages and devastating wedding ceremonies. Pentagon propaganda about low collateral damage never disguised the absence of real, actionable intelligence on the ground. Seymour Hersh argued that Obama's version of the killing of Osama bin Laden in May 2011 was an elaborate work of fiction, subsequently duly enshrined by Hollywood. 1 year later, Osama's surge still had 88,000 soldiers in Afghanistan plus nearly 118,000 contractors. The surge then died a slow, ignominious death. Anyone remotely familiar with the fractious geopolitics at the intersection of Central and South Asia knows that for the U.S. military-industrial security complex to withdraw from Afghanistan is anathema. Trump may be emitting some noise, but that's just noise. Bagram Air Base is an invaluable asset in the empire of bases to monitor the evolving Russia-China strategic partnership. The only feasible solution for Afghanistan is a pan-Eurasia mechanism being advanced by the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, with Russia and China at the helm, India and Pakistan as full members, and Iran and Afghanistan as observers. Afghanistan will then be fully integrated as a knot of the new Silk Roads, or Belt and Road Initiative, as part of the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, as well as the Indian mini-Silk Road through Afghanistan towards Central Asia, starting from the Iranian port of Chabahar. This is what all major Eurasia players want. This is how you win a war, and this is how you don't need to kill 10 million people.